Hi, I'm Dr. Robert Glover, the author of No More Mr. Nice Guy. Welcome to the Dating Essentials for Men Q&A podcast. Each week I use this forum to answer your dating and relationship questions. Now, I've been a marriage therapist for about 30 years. I've listened to countless women talk about their frustration in their relationships. I've been married twice to two women for a total of 25 years. I learned a lot from both of the women I was married to. I became single in 2002, and for the first time since college, had to get out and start dating. So I had to find out how to attract women. I studied, I practiced, and through trial and error, I found things that seemed to work in terms of attracting women and meeting women and getting laid and finding great women to date. April 2009 is a focal moment in my life. I was in Puerto Vallarta, Mexico on vacation, and I just finished running up several flights of stairs up from the beach for a workout, and after finishing the workout, I had a flash of inspiration. I don't know where it came from, why it landed in my head, but this flash of inspiration while I was standing sweaty, walking on cobblestones back to the casa I was staying in, was that women need tension for attraction and attachment. And it's like that just went off like a bell in my head. Women need tension for attraction and attachment. Now, I quickly realized it was primarily emotional tension that women need to be attracted to a man and to stay attached to him over time. I remember jogging back to the place I was staying and getting out a legal pad and writing about 10 pages of notes about the application of that concept. Now, this realization that women need emotional tension to be attracted to a man and to stay attached to him over a time not only answered every question about women that I'd ever had, whether as a marriage counselor, whether as a husband, or as a single guy dating, it also gave me a paradigm to understand what I had been doing that worked and what I had done that hadn't worked. Finally, everything had a place where it fit in a way that it made sense. I immediately began teaching the concept of emotional tension to both single guys and men in relationship. Now, it doesn't matter if you're single and trying to connect with women or if you're in a relationship with a woman and is committed and long-term. It is your job to consciously create positive emotional tension if you want to attract women and then keep them attached to you. This podcast is part one of a four-part series on creating positive emotional tension with women. These podcasts will mostly apply to single men trying to attract women, but if you've been in more than one relationship that hasn't worked, you might also see what you did wrong in either failing to consistently create positive emotional tension or by going out of your way to actually kill any tension that existed. In the first two parts of this four-part series, I'll spend some time answering the question of a guy who's experienced difficulty turning his initial meetings with women into second and third dates. So let's get started and take a look at this week's question. Here it is. What is the best way to assess whatever it is that I'm doing so horribly wrong on first meetings? I've had a very long stretch of initial meetings where the women seem to lose any and all interest almost immediately. I have a profile set up on a popular dating website which generates lots of interest. I would estimate that half of the women who view my profile initiate contact, even before I have the chance to view theirs and make the first move. From there, I follow the plan that you have outlined, making small introductory chatter, saving the good stories for the face-to-face meetings. I suggest we meet in a timely manner and the date is set. And that's pretty much the end of it. One of them actually closed out my profile before I got home from the meeting. My 9 pictures look just like me. My content was written by me and pretty much reflects my personality. There are no lies whatsoever, so I feel the profile accurately reflects what they are getting. I've explored everything from my wardrobe, posture, possible bad breath, anything I can think of. Do women tend to have outrageous expectations? Do I give off a creepy vibe? How do I go about assessing this? Well, it's easy to have a lot of empathy for this guy, and every one of us who's ever had any degree of dating frustration can understand the frustration he's experiencing. Now, there are actually many issues that we can address in trying to answer this question. In this podcast, I'll touch on a few issues such as online dating itself, personal appearance, and how we project ourselves. In part two of this podcast, we'll focus on creating positive tension in the initial meeting with women. Now, I'll begin our discussion by stating I don't know this man. I know nothing about how he projects himself or comes across to others. I don't know what his self-limiting beliefs are, how they enter the equation. So the answers I'm going to give in this podcast may not all apply to this person, but I'll address the issues that he's brought up based on the experience I've had working with thousands of men who are probably a lot like him and probably can understand the emotional frustration he's having with dating. So let's just talk about a few specific points about what possibly might be happening in these scenarios. First of all, the nature of dating in general, and especially online dating, is that there's a vast number of men competing for a few attractive single women. Now, this is true in the real world. It's especially true online, where probably every 10 guys are competing for the attention of the most prized two or three women online. And that's just the ratio of about 10 to 3 in terms of guys pursuing the same few women. Now, this reality, whether we like it or not, it's just reality, but it allows women to be amazingly picky, especially with the online dating. Women can turn on their computer every day and have 50 to 100 or more guys all competing for their attention. Now, imagine what that might be like. Now, most of us guys can't. In fact, I'd venture a guess that none of us guys really can understand what that's like. But here's 50 to 100 guys a day. If the woman's at least halfway decent looking and presents herself halfway decently, pursuing her and wanting her attention, wanting to take her out, wanting to do things for her, trying to impress her. And so it's not hard to understand why many women can turn the whole dating process, especially online dating, into their own personal toy box. You know, why would they ever want to close the lid and focus on one guy if that means closing off all these other guys who are trying to get their attention? Women can get addicted to that ongoing need to have men pay attention to them. Now, that's just the way it is. Now, I'm not asking you to feel sorry for women, but just to understand what's probably going on with many of the women who actually show up on a coffee date with you. Number one, the fact that she actually decides to have a coffee date with you, if you think about it, are actually against the odds. It means you've already done a good job of presenting yourself, setting up the situation, and creating attraction. Okay? The odds are against that happening, of a woman actually showing up from an online process and going out with you. And I'm not saying it doesn't happen, because of course it happens all the time. But number one, that's the odds we're fighting. And then number two, once she does show up on the date with you, the odds are still against her going on a second and third date with you, primarily because before she even shows up on this date with you, she's probably already made two or three other dates that are sometime after you, later that same day perhaps, or during the rest of the week. So she's got a lot to pick up from and a lot of choices. Okay? So the guy who posed this question may just be encountering the numbers issue. It may just be he did a good job getting these women to come on a first date with him, so that's encouraging. And it may just be he's bumping into a numbers game. Now, this is something we have to accept as men in the dating world and not let it get to us. Now, it's understandable to get down about feeling that women who initially show high interest seem to then show low interest after meeting us in person. And that's one of the reasons, believe it or not, that dating is such a powerful personal growth machine. dating and this kind of what we often call rejection, I call it low interest, forces you to confront and overcome your self-limiting beliefs. All the beliefs that you have of your desirability and why people would want to be with you, it forces you to work at letting go of attachment. It forces you to learn to soothe yourself, to let go of the need for external validation, and to confront the frustration that so many nice guys and bad daters easily give into. It forces you to stretch yourself out of your comfort zone. Now, see, now those are all good things. Now, how many of us actually like the idea of volunteering to constantly have ourselves ripped apart, our self-limiting beliefs brought up, anxiety triggered, faced with frustration? But that's the beauty of dating. Learning to date well not only lets you deal with all that stuff and help clean it out, but it also helps you get good enough at dating that you might meet a really great woman. So my advice is to keep at it. One of the things when I'm dating seriously is that I cycle my dating, especially with the online dating. I'll spend 2 or 3 weeks really getting after it online and then maybe take a couple of months off from doing it and just take a break and just focus on other things in my life, my work, my career, my guy friends, staying in shape. So I often would cycle in and out of dating. But even when you're in the cycle, when you're not consciously putting a lot of work into dating, still keep getting out of the house, expand your route, linger in public, talk to the people you meet, test for interest, walk through open doors, because that's actually how I met the woman that I've been dating for the last 2 years. I was actually in one of those when I was kind of cycled out of dating for a little bit. My brother had died a week before I met her. My father had died 3 months before I met her. So I was kind of going through a process of not pursuing dating. And I was in public. She sold me shoes. I got her number. We're still dating 2 years later. So I wasn't even in an active dating cycle. So it's okay to cycle in and out of the process to help not get overly frustrated or overwhelmed and just kind of take a break, work on other things, and then dive back into it with lots of zest and energy, knowing you're going to bump into some frustrations and a lot of low interest over time. It's just the way it is. Okay, number two. Another issue is that the guy who poses this question might possibly be taking things too personally. And this, the reason I suggest that, because this is another common issue for nice guys and bad daters out in the dating world. They take everything any woman does, no matter how desirable or undesirable the woman is, no matter how flaky or neurotic she may be, because probably they don't know how flaky or neurotic she possibly is, but many guys will take everything any woman does very personally, as if it's telling a story about them and validation of perhaps what they already believe about themselves. Now, many nice guys and bad daters I've found already have somewhat of a low opinion of themselves, especially in terms of their desirability towards women. Many men I work with assume, whether they actually say this out loud or not, but they assume it at some level, that women can see right through them and see that they're losers or that they're addicted to porn or that they don't have anything interesting to talk about or they have no life. But women can't do this. They don't have that magic X-ray vision to look through you and tell if you're a loser. Because the truth is, you're not a loser, so how could they see it even if they could? But they can't, and you're not. All right? Now, many guys are anxious when approaching women, and women can often pick up on this, and that can be a turnoff. But again, as I've said before, mostly dating is a numbers game. Most women are going to have low interest in an ongoing dating relationship with you. That's okay. That's just the way it is. You don't have high interest in dating every single woman out there. In fact, you probably only have high interest in dating maybe 10% of the women out there. So it works both ways. Now, even if a woman initially showed what appeared to be high interest before meeting you, many people go on a first date, and maybe you've even done this. They'll go on a first date with someone that maybe they have moderate interest in. Maybe there's something intriguing about that person, and so they just want to go check it out. And they'll go on a date, and in person, there's just a not enough click to make it work. Now, I've done that many times, gone out with women that online, I thought they were intriguing or interesting, or they sent me an interesting email or text. I thought they were funny or clever. And even though I maybe wasn't blown away with their profile, I went out with them. And after a first date, realized, eh. So I've actually been on a lot of one and done coffee dates because that's what I chose. I decided to go out with them and then decided not to go out with them again. So that happens all the time. Women do it, men do it. Now, on paper, people can seem interesting, and in person, they're just not the same chemistry. I remember, for example, several years ago, I met one woman online, and we had about three or four or five email exchanges back and forth, and every one of them was kind of clever and funny and bantering and even a little bit of sexual innuendo in them coming from the woman. I met the woman, we went and had drinks, and I think she was one of the most boring women I've ever met in person. But yet online, she seemed so intriguing. And I wondered if her roommate had written her emails. I doubt that, but she was just different in person than online. And that's okay. And probably if you've been on many dates with women you met online, sometimes you meet women who don't look a lot like their pictures. And bottom line is, women can be pretty flaky, especially single women. Remember, there's a reason why they're single, and one of the reasons may be is that they're somewhat flaky by nature. All right, so you meet a woman, she's just checking it out, maybe she's a little flaky, she decides she's got five other dates lined up this week, she doesn't want to meet up with you again. So, nice guys have to work it on not taking this personally. If it already fits their perception of themselves, any rejection is taken personally. So again, we get to work on that. And it's understandable if you get a few low interest responses in a row that you must think you're total dog meat. It's just understandable. I think anybody would. But we have to work against this. We can't let our brain take over and convince us that somehow these women are validating our undesirability. Okay? We got to keep plugging away at it, keep working at it. Now, third thing, and again, another common thing that many nice guys and bad daters do, is that this guy might be giving women way too much power. Now, I don't know, but I see that very commonly. Remember, when it comes to dating, you are the decider. Now, in the question, this guy never mentioned if he actually liked any of the women who seemed to have low interest in him after meeting him. He seemed to just focus on the apparent rejections. Now, if you find out a woman has low interest in you, that's great. You got to rejection quickly. It's not a sign that you're unlovable, undesirable, or unattractive. It just means that you weren't a good fit for her. You found out. You move on. Now, this can be a little bit of a downer if you thought she was a cool chick and maybe you were a little bit attached to the outcome. But again, that's where dating is a good practice in letting go of that attachment to outcome. So move on. Keep the process going. Remember, every first date should be about you deciding if the woman is a cool chick and if there's mutual attraction. Now, why would you be upset about a woman having low interest in you if you also have low interest in her? In fact, that's probably what often happens. So unless a guy has virtually no dating experience, I can't imagine he would be attracted to even half of the women he went on a first date with. So that's our job, is to call it down, be the decider, and you pick who you want to go out and see next. If she doesn't choose you, move on. And then four, there may be some things the guy needs to work on. Now, I think it's great. Sounds like the guy has already checked into certain things. You know, how's he coming across? What's his wardrobe like? Does he have bad breath? I assume he maybe breathed on some friends and asked them. And it could be that it is one of these factors. It could be he's sending signals that he's not aware of. Sounds like he's paid attention to some of it. But some of the common things that happen in terms of nice guys and bad daters sending signals that tend to turn women off, some of the things that we might ask and you might ask yourself. Is he anxious? Now, granted, most of us have some degree of anxiety meeting somebody new. Women are trained by Mother Nature to pick up on men's anxiety, and that can actually make them feel anxious and unsafe and be a turnoff. So a big part of dating, one of the reasons I say date a lot, is partially so you can work on learning to soothe your anxiety. And so anytime you do something a lot, you're going to become less anxious at it. Does he try too hard? Is he too intellectual? Does he talk too much about himself? Does he ask too many questions? Does he have incongruencies in his presentation? Like, is he smiling when he's nervous? That's incongruent. Does he dress like shit? Does he smell? It sounds like he's already checked out those things, and those are all things I encourage people to check out with their friends. So ask a few friends to give you a candid and honest feedback about how you come across. Maybe even have a friend observe you on a coffee date from a distance. Now, I get that that probably in itself will amp up your anxiety a little bit, but maybe have a friend do it a time or two and then give you feedback about what your body language was, your facial, how you conducted yourself from a distance, because that's hard for us to see in ourselves. I'd suggest get out your video camera and tape yourself having a conversation with a friend and then go back and watch it. Observe what voice signals you send, facial signals, body language signals, and then work on them. Don't you know, get overly conscious about it, but work on them. Now, some of the common things I see with a lot of guys, and these are things I've had to work on, is that when men are talking with somebody, especially somebody when they're anxious or they want to impress her, often they will fidget, move around, bob their head kind of back and forth or forward, dart their eyes, lose eye contact, look down a lot, get distracted. And I found that many guys that I work with tend to get into their own head so much when they're with a woman that they don't really listen. All they're concerned about is themselves and how the woman is perceiving them. And that tends to make you come across as not particularly available or particularly interesting. So in these regards, I encourage you to practice soothing yourself. Practice keeping eye contact with a person, not staring. It's not a staring contest, but make eye contact and then kind of look down or look up and then make eye contact again. Try to match the other person's breathing while you're talking to them. And don't go overboard with it, but see if you can kind of get into a flow of matching their breathing. It's a way to connect with them. Don't fidget. Don't look around. Pay attention to your nervous mannerisms and work in situations on improving them. And again, that's where dating can be a great practice. Practice physically leaning in and leaning back just real subtly with a person. That creates a nice ebb and flow and energy with them. We'll talk more about that in later podcasts. Don't quiz her or treat it like a job interview. And don't talk longer than about 30 or 45 seconds at a time. Have a conversation. It's give and take. So be willing to listen to people who know you so you can consciously work on how you come across. Now, with that said, it's also important, like I've already said, to get out of your own head. Observe when you're thinking too much about you, whether or not she likes you, or did you say something foolish, or are you going to get shot down? And instead, focus on getting to know the woman. Who is she? What makes her tick? What are some important life experiences for her? Does she have a good sense of humor? Is she a good person? Remember, the purpose of the first date is to find out how you feel about her. Is she a cool chick, and are you attracted to her? The goal is not to make a good impression or to try to get her to like you. Now, of all the things that I've mentioned, any one of these factors could be contributing to the lack of success following a first date. In addition to any or all of these issues, there's probably at least one bigger issue that could be contributing to the problem. It's the number one problem that most nice guys and bad daters have when it comes to approaching and dating, and that is the failure to create tension for the woman. Now, it could be this guy has checked out everything. He's dressing well. He doesn't have bad breath. He's engaging. He's nice. He's polite. He's courteous. And it possibly could be that he's failing to create any kind of tension that could cause a woman to feel attraction and some degree of attachment to him. So, In part two of this series of podcasts, we'll return to this very same question that we read earlier in the podcast to explore creating positive tension early in the dating process. We'll define positive tension. We'll talk about why it's essential for women to feel attraction and attachment. And we'll discuss the ways that nice guys and bad daters tend to kill positive tension. And we'll wrap up this podcast series with several suggestions for ways to create the kind of positive tension that triggers women's basic biological impulse of attraction. Well, that wraps up this week's Dating Essentials for Men Q&A podcast. Remember, as I've said many times, get out of the house, expand your route, linger in public, talk to the people you meet, test for interest, and walk through open doors. This is Dr. Robert Glover. Thanks for listening.